because you don't want to eat it, but you don't know what to say. Well, I'm going to help you out here. Here are the excuses people have given when they don't like a Thanksgiving meal. They say, I'm saving room for dessert. I had a big breakfast, and I'm on a diet. It must be more than that. Those are good, but they can say, oh, just a little bit. And, you know, you're forced to eat it. I've never been to a Thanksgiving meal where I didn't like the food. So I guess I'm pretty lucky. 7 o'clock on the noggin right now. Let's check news.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
Here's CBS.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President-elect Donald Trump is raising eyebrows with his selection to head the military. He's chosen Fox News host and Army veteran Pete Hegseth to be the nation's next defense secretary. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
Many people thought the most likely candidate to be Secretary of Defense might have been Mike Pompeo. The fact that he didn't select Pompeo, but selected somebody with a pretty thin resume in national security affairs tells me that the primary reason is one of great political loyalty.
Mr. Trump's tapped Elon Musk and former GOP presidential contender Vivek Ramaswamy to lead DOGE, a new Department of Government Efficiency. Mr. Trump will travel to the White House today to meet with President Biden, spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
It is important not just because it's important to him, but it's important to the American people. He said the American people deserve this. They deserve a peaceful transfer of power. They deserve a smooth transition.
Melania Trump will not join her husband. The 22-year-old Air National Guardsman who leaked classified military documents online apologized in a Boston courtroom before he was sentenced to 15 years in prison. U.S. Attorney Joshua Levy.
Jack DeShera made the deliberate choice day after day, week after week, for over a year to share the nation's secrets that were entrusted to him and make them available to all comers.
Two people were killed when an old food coloring factory blew up in Louisville, Kentucky. Others were hurt. One person was trapped, rescued by first responders. City's fire chief, Brian O'Neill.
We started air monitoring immediately. It is ongoing. We're going in all directions within that whole area. And rest assured that nothing at this point has ever shown any type of chemical problems in the air in this entire region.
The cause of the explosion is under investigation. Firefighters are having a tough time getting a handle on the wildfire that broke out along the New York-New Jersey border over the weekend. CBS New York's Christine Sloan is in Pacific. County.
Officials say they've made progress, but the winds are hampering their efforts to completely bring this fire under control. Those winds also pushing the smoke into New Jersey, where the fire is 10% contained after burning nearly 25 acres of land.
There's a new hot guy in town.
This year's People's Sexiest Man Alive is John Krasinski.
Stephen Colbert with the announcement on The Late Show. The Jack Ryan star says his wife, Emily Blunt, wasn't impressed.
There was so much laughter on the other end of the phone.
S&P futures down 15. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A special Kenosha Unified School Board meeting last night became a place for parents to give feedback about what happened last week. It was last week when a 13-year-old boy, who tells police now he was trying to scare kids, tried to enter Roosevelt Elementary. One parent wanted the security effort at Roosevelt replicated.
For the safety of our children, we are asking that all Kenosha Unified Schools be equipped with secure entrances and occupied with a trained security liaison at the main entrance.
That's parent Amanda Dreifke. She described the process that was in place at Roosevelt. Kenosha Unified officials say they were aware of images of the suspect with airsoft guns, but since there were no direct threats associated, police were not involved. It was swearing-in day for the South Shore Department yesterday. A veteran firefighter with experience across multiple states has taken his place atop the South Shore Department. That's the department serving Mount Pleasant and Sturtevant. Joseph Hoffman took over from Interim Chief Joe Nitter in a ceremony last night. The disappearance of the Watertown kayaker has evolved into an international investigation. Authorities now suspect Ryan Borgwart faked his own death and escaped to Eastern Europe. The Green Lake County Sheriff says Borgwart's passport was checked in Canada the day after he went missing. Investigators now say they've found suspicious financial activities and communications with a woman in Uzbekistan. The sheriff's office is considering potential charges. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Bucks take down the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, Milwaukee with a 99-85 win over the struggling Raptors. Giannis with 23 points. Bobby Portis, 17. No Damian Lillard in the concussion protocol. So point guard Ryan Rollins stepped in with 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Doc Rivers.
He's a terrific shooter. Thing I kept saying in the timeout, keep shooting, keep shooting.
The Bucks host the Pistons tonight. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the Bears Sunday at Soldier Field. Green Bay has a 10-game winning streak over Chicago, the longest of its kind in the league. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers will welcome back Bo Ryan and the 2014-15 teams that he led to the Final Four when they play number 9th ranked Arizona at the Kohl Center Friday night.
Excited to have who's coming back from those two teams, and then to have an opportunity to recognize Coach Ryan, put his name in the rafters where it belongs. So preparation for Arizona will unfold.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be a cloudy one today with scattered showers developing by mid to late afternoon. Our high today right around 52. More rain tonight. A half inch or more of rain is possible by the time it all winds down tomorrow. 45 tonight. Rain ending tomorrow with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 46.
When I'm at home, I just wear sweatpants. I don't understand people who don't just wear sweatpants at home. Like, what's the point? Now, once I'm in my sweatpants, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving the house. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine texted me and he said, would you like to come over for a last minute dinner party for Mick, as in Jagger? Now, I've never met Mick Jagger, and I would love to meet Mick Jagger, but I was in my sweatpants already and I was not leaving. And that's what I told him. And he could not believe that was the reason that I wasn't going. But it was the truth. People say honesty is the best policy. I don't know why they say that. It's only the best policy if it's something you want to hear, really. There are certain degrees of honesty. Like if you tell someone there's something stuck in their teeth, they don't love that, but they, you know, kind of appreciate that and they'll take that. But as soon as you tell someone that all of their stories should be 50% shorter, you lose 100% of their friendship is what happens.
And good morning. It's 7:07 at WRJN. And let's say good morning to my special guest. First time here, you're going to move a little closer to that microphone because I want to hear every single word you have to say. Olivia Turquoise Davis is here, Alder for the 3rd District in Racine. Before we start anything, let's talk about that middle name, Turquoise, because you don't hear that too often. You know, I have a very boring middle name, Stephen, except it's spelled differently with a PH. That's the only exotic thing about my middle name. Turquoise, where did that come from? It's a beautiful name. I mean, I wouldn't want that for my middle name because it's a, more of a woman thing. But how'd you get that name?
Thank you for asking. Well, my dad played basketball in high school, and my parents decided to name me after Dr. J's ex-wife, Turquoise, Julius Irving.
Yeah,
these folks
Dr.
don't know
J.
who Dr. J is. Yes.
Yeah, Dr. J, Julius Irving, played for the New York Nets. And I told you, I got to meet him many times. Just to come to our radio station on Long Island. And very tall fella.
Yes.
I was the biggest guy in the station until he walked in. Well, that's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
So let's get a little background on you. You're brand new to our audience. They're saying, I'd like to meet this woman. She sounds very bright and cheerful, which you are. So you grew up in the district you represent, right?
Yes.
Isn't that something, huh?
Yes, been many years walking, playing, running up and down many other streets in District 3.
Did you have any inkling to want to move out of Racine and maybe out of Wisconsin and maybe see the world or, you know, even Indiana?
Funny you mention Indiana because I am Army brat and a Chrysler kid. So I did spend brief stint in Kokomo, Indiana.
Oh, your dad was in the military?
Yes, in the military and worked for Chrysler.
So, well, yeah. Happy Veterans Day to your dad.
Thank you.
It just came up. And he worked for Chrysler, too.
Yes.
And where was the Chrysler plant?
The Chrysler was in Kokomo.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So there, you did live there for a short time.
I had to make my way back to Racine, to the 3rd District.
Yeah, you couldn't take it out. I can't take it out there in the world in Indiana. I got to get back to Wisconsin.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good. And so where'd you go to high school?
Park.
Park High School.
Yes.
All right. The Park Panthers?
Yes.
All
Panther
right.
baby was a cheerleader. Yes.
Oh, you look like a cheerleader. You look like one of those happy people that was, you know, a cheerleader. Wow. Okay. So that's great. So you're a local yokel.
Yes.
And you grew up and you're now representing the people you grew up with.
Absolutely.
Are they calling in any favors? Like, you know, maybe they know something about you that maybe we shouldn't know. And all of a sudden they're saying, I remember when you were a teenager, if you don't get this street fixed, I'm telling you, I'm going to go blab it to everybody. No?
No. Because somehow I must have foreseen that I was going to get into this realm of being an older person. I made sure that there's no pictures and no recordings of anything that I may have done.
Yeah. You always got to worry about the negatives to the Christmas party. And so.
Exactly.
So, well, this is great. I love the fact that you're representing the district you grew up in. That's really good. Now, what made you become an alder? I mean, have you done anything else before being an alder?
Not in government, to say.
Okay.
No. I grew up down the street from our former alderman, Michael Shields.
Oh, yeah, Mike Shields. I know,
yes,
Mike.
Okay. Yes. So I got roped in a few times to do some canvassing, or was at his house eating meals and hearing a little bit about the council, and it kind of piqued my interest many years back. And so that's where the seed was planted to maybe look into how I can help the community. I've always been community involved.
Now, you're a first termer. This is your first term, right?
First term.
How did you feel the moment you walked into the chamber? You sat down at the desk, had your name there, your name plaque, and all of a sudden you were part of city government, making the rules that people are going to have to live by. How did you feel? That must have been really big.
It was big, and it was... Folks went to the poll to vote me in.
Oh, that's right. You get to vote for yourself.
You know.
Did you?
Of course I did.
I thought maybe you had second thought. Nah, I don't want this job. I'll vote for this.
No. It was, you know, convincing my oldest son to, yes, vote for your mom. But it was surreal walking in and looking and seeing my name there, 3rd District.
Yeah, I know. That's got to be something big, huh?
I completed a goal. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations
to you.
So what made you pick this, though? Why would you want to get involved in government? We were talking before we went on the air. 50% of the people are not going to like your decision, no matter what it is. Doesn't matter. You can pick the right thing, but 50% of the people aren't going to like it. And they're going to let you know they don't like it.
True.
When you're having dinner, a nice dinner out with the family or somebody, and they're going to come up to your table and say, you know, that curb needs to be fixed in front of my house. And I've been talking to a lot of people, and they say, you're the person. Can we sit down and talk about this curb thing right now while you're having dinner? Do you get that? Or you're in Pick and Save, and somebody wants to talk about garbage pickup?
Yes. That occurs. If we're at a restaurant, long as my food hasn't hit the table, I have some time to listen.
Oh, you would do that? See, this is why I'd never make it. I have no couth when it comes to this kind of stuff. I would say, excuse me, do you see me at a restaurant? Do I come to your place and say, fill it up?
But did you hear what I... If my food is on the table, that's a whole different way. Like, I may move a little different because I'm a foodie. My food is going to come first, right? But I mean, I am going to give a person a chance to voice their concern, and then I'll slip them my business card. Give me a call. Let's chat later. You know, I put my customer service
with
hat
a smile
on.
Like I'm getting right now.
Yes.
Oh, look at you. Wow, that's really nice. So what's the first big decision you had to make as an alder that you really had to think about? And you say, gee, this is a real tough decision. Do I go yay or nay on this?
It would be the alleyways.
Now, what about the alleyways? I've never lived where I had an alleyway before. When I had a home in Queens, in Rockaway, we used to live, there was an alleyway there, but it was sort of in it. You couldn't bring a car down there, but it was an alleyway where the garbage cans were kept and everything like that. But I was a little kid at the time, so I didn't remember. But what about the alleyways?
It's, I was assigned to the Public Works Committee, and it's all about the alleyways, the street curbs, and that. And with the alleys, I learned more about how the cost is distributed amongst the neighbors if there needs to be an alley repair. And it goes back to your discussion of 50 want it, 50 don't. And it's making a decision of who actually wants the alley and who's open to paying for the alley. And you will get calls on, I don't care that there's a pothole, leave it, I'm not paying for it. And there's folks, get rid of this swimming pool that's a pothole in my alley.
The swimming pool.
Yes.
All I need is a diving board and I'm all set for the summer.
Yes. So trying to make sure that
Who's responsible for cleaning up potholes in the alley?
That's DPW.
Okay, it's not the homeowner.
Well, you mean DPW is in charge of the alleys. The homeowner doesn't fill the alleys or anything, no.
Okay, so the homeowner doesn't have to pay for it, does it?
No, yes.
Oh, they do, see?
That's why they want
to keep the swimming pool.
So that's where the hard decision comes about, is the paying of that once it goes on your tax bills and whatnot, yes.
Oh, see? Oh, man. And people aren't going to like you when you start saying you have to pay for this.
Right. Those conversations are the tough ones.
I don't want. My toughest decision is, do I want to play the Beatles or Beach Boys coming out of this? And I said, gee, people aren't going to like me if I say the Beach Boys. 50% of the people aren't going to like the Beatles. What do I do? Hold on. We're talking to Alder Olivia Turquoise Davis. I love saying that. Olivia Turquoise Davis, Alder for the 3rd District in Racine. More with Olivia coming up in a moment, but first.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Beyonce might have been disappointed with her response from the Country Music Awards, but when it comes to Grammy nominations, she's at the top. Variety reports that Beyonce has been nominated for 11 Grammys, including Artist, Song, and Album of the Year for Cowboy Carter. Not far behind are some other heavy hitters, including, you guessed it, Taylor Swift, Sabrina Carpenter, Billie Eilish, and new kid on the block, Chappell Roan. Roan and Carpenter also up for Best New Artist of the Year. Looks like I got shut out again. Taylor Sheridan apparently decided he does not have enough shows on TV, so he is teaming up with Blake Shelton for a new music reality show. The Road will follow a big-time music star around the country in search of the next big musical talent. Deadline reports competing artists will have the opportunity to open for an A-lister in various towns to win over crowds. The music superstar who will lead the search has not yet been revealed. The Road will launch in the fall of 2025 on CBS. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And that's 6 to 8 p.m. tonight on our sister station, WAUK, AM 540.
Are your auto and home insurance rates too high? Then call the folks at Bain's AAA Insurance Agency to see if they can help save you money. Licensed in both Wisconsin and Illinois, they have been in business since 2014, serving the Racine, Mount Pleasant, Kenosha, and surrounding areas. Bain's AAA has sold thousands of customers AAA road service, auto, homeowners, condo, renters, life, and umbrella insurance, plus personalized service to fit your family's ever-evolving needs with competitive rates. Call Annette today at 262-672-4702.
Coverage is subject to all policy terms, conditions, exclusions, and limitations. Discounts and savings opportunities subject to eligibility requirements, subject to underwriting requirements. AAA Insurance is a collection of AAA branded insurance products, services, and programs made available to qualified members. Personal lines insurance is underwritten by Auto Club Group Insurance Company, Auto Club Insurance Association, and AAA Life Insurance Company.
When the weather turns chilly, Ferraro's turns up the heat. This season of giving, get a little extra. Buy $100 in gift cards with cash, and Ferraro's will top it with a bonus $20 card. Don't miss November's cheesy ham and potato pizza with a beer cheese base, Canadian bacon, white potato, red onion, and topped with cheddar cheese. Plus, discover the tasty frozen pizzas, just right for carryout or your upcoming fundraiser, bridging the warmth and flavor Racine craves. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's. Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
Easy Mobility Solutions helps you reclaim your freedom and live life on your terms. Travel with ease in a Golden or Pride Power Scooter or Power Chair, designed for easy transport wherever you go. Southeastern Wisconsin's trusted power mobility provider with care credit options also offers power lift recliners with heat and massage features, keeping you comfortable and independent at home. Stop by the Easy Mobility Solutions showroom across the street from the old Kmart on Douglas Avenue in Racine.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day. Dogs and Cream in Racine. They have the hot dog game on lock. Whether you want a Chicago dog, a pretzel dog, or any other gourmet Frank, it's happiness on a bun made to order, ensuring each bite is delectable perfection. And save room for that velvety custard that'll melt your troubles away. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals banner, and purchase $20 worth of gift certificates for just $10. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Local news and timeless hits. It's our renewed commitment to Racine. For 97 years, people have depended on WRJN for local news, and we continue that tradition hourly every weekday. Now, along with Brewers, Badgers, Packers, Bucks, and high school sports, WRJN features the timeless hits that lifts everyone's spirits. Hometown Radio Refreshed with local news and timeless hits. WRJN.
And my guest is Alder for the 3rd District. Olivia Turquoise Davis is here. We're getting to know her. And we're going to have you back again and again. And then we don't have to know you anymore. We'll know you by that time. So you're in the 3rd District. What are some of the things people are looking at to improve? Or what do they need in the 3rd District that you got to fight for? Now, you to give you an idea, people idea, the cemeteries are in your district. That's Mound Cemetery, Grace. Is it Graceland or just Mound?
Mound and... the one across the street from Mound.
Yeah, I the Catholic cemetery. Yes. I can't think of it. Yeah. So you've got a lot of dead people in your district. They can't vote, right?
Right. My constituents do not make it to the polls.
So what are people looking for? I don't know what people want. When I had in Alder Caprillion and David Mack was in here, I said the only thing I have a problem with, the manhole covers are like an inch or so or 2 inches below the street level. And when I hit him, I'm going to break an axle. Ba-boom. And Alder Caprillion said something. She says, well, that's where the rainwater goes down. And if you have it higher than the street, or it's not going to go down there. But meanwhile, I'm going ba-boom. And right in front of my house, there's a manhole cover. I live on North Main. And I could hear it all night long. Ba-boom. 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 As cars go up and down. The ones at speed of 50 or 60 miles an hour in the 30 zone, I don't hear that. They hit it so fast, they glide right over it. So what are some of the problems in your district that people want you to fix?
One issue that came up early on was lights. Residents on Linden Avenue wanted more lights. They considered it was dark on the street. When I went out before for signatures, and it was dark outside, and they told me that they signed my nomination papers, and then this told me that I needed to stop bibbity bopping on the dark street and get home and make it my business to get some more lights on Linden. And I'm proud to say that the lights are installed. I'm just waiting for them to hit go.
Do you have one of those things like the railroad people used to have, that lantern that goes back and forth? I got your light. And every night at 9 o'clock, you're out there with the lantern.
I was ready if I needed to. Those were my elders. I'm like, I have to make something happen.
So what are some of the things going on right now in the city council? The budget, is that going on now?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I looked at the look on your face. I saw that. That was a look of... oh, don't talk about the budget. I have nightmares every night about this. So what are the things going on with the budget?
Oh, the budget.
It's not like balancing your own checkbook, is it?
No, it's not, because it's multiple folks' checkbooks. And keeping in mind the constituents part of that with that budget. And this is my second budget, and it's very much still a learning curve. In the midst of finding if there's any amendments that need to be made to what was presented, if there's anything that I can possibly propose. It's this is where my learning curve is with the budget. So I'm really studying day and night on how to make sure I'm making the proper decisions for the folks that I represent.
Is there any pressure in there? Do people pressure you to vote a certain way? I'm not going to ask you to name names, but do people, some of the people that have been there a while, do they say, listen, Olivia, you don't know it. This is how you're going to vote. Do they do stuff like that?
No one tells me how to vote, but there are times where things are highly suggested,
yes, right.
You know, and seeds are planted. And with anything, I listen to all sides of the story.
Well,
and
that's
good. And then I go with what best suits the constituents that I represent.
See, that's why I wouldn't make it as an Alder. somebody come up to me and says something like that, I would say, excuse me, your seat's over there under your name tag. Just have a seat over there. When I need you, I will go to that seat and ask your opinion. See, that's why I wouldn't make it. I have no couth when it comes to this stuff.
So that's why we'll keep you here on the radio, I'll do the order.
Years ago, somebody asked me to run for something. I said, you've got to be kidding. I'd last a day. I would never be doing on these reality shows like Survivor or Big Brother. They'd throw me out in the first day. I'd be bossing people around, telling them what to do, and say, leave me alone. I'm not going to vote for you. Get out of here. I wouldn't last long.
That's why one important thing is making sure you have either a mentor and someone that is your sounding board. So you see Thierry now, there are times when I'm like, what the WTF? So it's not always cheery. There is time and it's frustration, but you talk through it. Yeah.
Well, good for you. You've got a nice attitude about this. Better than I would have. You know, we've had a lot of alders in here. We had Melissa Caprillion and Dave Mack. Dave Mack's been my friend for years. And I could talk to him. I could talk to him. Melissa. Henry Perez has been in here. He's a great guest. Sandy Widener's been in there a few times. Corey Sebastian's been in here. And Renee Kelly's been in here. So we're trying to get everybody in here so I get to know. Oh, and Terry McCarthy's been in here, too. Now, he doesn't want to run for the president of the council anymore. So he wants out of that job. You want that job? Oh, that's not a no. I didn't hear a no. I didn't hear a no. Hang in there. We're talking to Alder Olivia Turquoise Davis. She's Alder for the 3rd District in Racine. But right now, we've got Paul Harvey.
The rest of the story. It was Malibu in June, but the weather was gray and cold and windy. Not at all what Bob and his family had hoped for when a friend invited them to his beachfront home. But Bob had promised his 2 young sons a swim in the ocean. And rain or shine, they would have their swim. The first order of business that morning was a sandcastle for 3-year-old Max. Dad laughed to watch the boy gathering wet sand in his tiny hands. Do it this way, said Dad, and before long, as fathers do, he had taken over the project, and little Max sat spellbound, observing. And the wind whipped up. David, a big boy of 12, was eager to swim. Stay close, Dad admonished, but David had already started splashing about, deaf with enthusiasm. Dad waded in. The water was chilly, but the surf caressed him soothingly. He was desperately needing this respite to spend some time romping with the boys and to ponder nothing more ponderous than an eternity of water stretched out before him. He could almost see the western horizon now through the leaden sky, and the surf surged more powerfully. From his daydream, Bob suddenly awakened to the distant sound of a voice calling out, Dad, and it was an urgent call. He glanced back at the beach, and little Max was still preoccupied with fantastic additions to his sandcastle. But then Bob's eyes darted seaward, and his son David, a minute before only arm's length away, his son David was now a bobbing dot in the rolling gray. Dad, the boy called out again, and in an instant Bob knew what had happened. Undertow. Young David had paddled about happily and then realized that he was quickly being drawn away from shore. He had struggled against the current, but the more he did, the stronger it became. A few minutes more, and he would be all but unreachable in the open sea. His father plunged into the surf. Within 20 feet, he could feel it also. He could feel that something huge and invisible trying to inhale him. The father swam harder. David was now thrashing about in panic. His father shouted, hold on, I'm almost there. And finally, with one hand, he was able to grab the flailing boy. It took all of his father's might to fight the undertow with David clinging to him. But he did fight it, and he did win. When they pulled themselves from the water, David looked at his father. He said, I'm sorry, Dad. There was a bloody bruise over Bob's right eye. Don't mention it, his dad answered, smiling, and nobody mentioned it. And maybe I would not have mentioned it today, except that only hours later, that very evening, something unforeseen and terrible happened, and the boy's father never came home again. For destiny has its own undertow, and it's an irresistible one. On the way to his own grave, a father had managed to reach out to his son and offer a parting gift of life itself and an indelible memory which you now share. To this day, a quarter century later, the world recalls what happened the night of June 5, 1968, at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, when an assassin shot to death the father, when an assassin gunned down Robert Kennedy, who that morning had saved the life of his own son. And now you know the rest of the story.
And you can hear another rest of the story with Cindy Huber coming up at 12:05 today to learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular radio shows ever to air on WRJN. Call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. You can be one of four category exclusive businesses. The sponsor, Paul Harvey. And the rest of the story, 7:30 on the nose. Let's check news once again, and here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A special Kenosha Unified School Board meeting last night became a place for parents to give feedback about what happened last week. It was last week when a 13-year-old boy, who tells police now he was trying to scare kids, tried to enter Roosevelt Elementary. One parent wanted the security effort at Roosevelt replicated.
For the safety of our children, we are asking that all Kenosha Unified Schools be equipped with secure entrances and occupied with a trained security liaison at the main entrance.
That's parent Amanda Dreifke. She described the process that was in place at Roosevelt. Kenosha Unified officials say they were aware of images of the suspect with airsoft guns, but since there were no direct threats associated, police were not involved. It was swearing-in day for the South Shore Department yesterday. A veteran firefighter with experience across multiple states has taken his place atop the South Shore Department. That's the department serving Mount Pleasant and Sturtevant. Joseph Hoffman took over from Interim Chief Joe Nitter in a ceremony last night. The disappearance of the Watertown kayaker has evolved into an international investigation. Authorities now suspect Ryan Borgwart faked his own death and escaped to Eastern Europe. The Green Lake County Sheriff says Borgwart's passport was checked in Canada the day after he went missing. Investigators now say they've found suspicious financial activities and communications with a woman in Uzbekistan. The sheriff's office is considering potential charges. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you, reporting from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. What's on the docket today? President-elect Donald Trump has nominated former U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin of New York to serve as the Environmental Protection Agency administrator. What does this mean for biofuels? Stick around.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance, but it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
The EPA is the agency that looks at ethanol and biodiesel. Market analyst John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing says in the past, the Trump administration has been supportive of biofuels.
They were actually fairly green in terms of those biofuel movements and, again, wanting to get ethanol into the system, getting it used more. I know they were pushing heavy for the E15. We're still struggling getting that out there as way it needs to be on a national scale. So those are some things that will be policies we need to watch as we, start turning the calendar into next year. And hopefully we get some more of this domestic demand, because realistically, even though export sales have been pretty good for both corn and soybeans, more corn than soybeans, we still need that domestic usage to get through these supply piles.
John Heinberg along with us, market advisor from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. We'll take a look at your markets next.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit Compeer.com/GrainVantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
On the close yesterday from Chicago, grain markets were in the red. December corn closed down a penny and a half at 428 and a half. Cash soybeans were down 11 and 3/4 cents at 1010 and a half. And November 2025, new crop soybeans closed down 13 and a quarter cents at 1031 and 3/4. Cash wheat was also down 13 and a quarter at 552 and a quarter. And July 2025, new crop wheat was down 13 and a half cents, closing at 584 and 3/4. Barrel cheese dropped a quarter of a cent at $1.68 and a half. The 40-pound block cheese closed up 0.75 cents at $1.71 and 3/4. And AA butter closed down 4 3/4 cents at $2.59 and 3/4. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
It is going to be a cloudy one today with scattered showers developing by mid to late afternoon. Our high today right around 52. More rain tonight. A half inch or more of rain is possible by the time it all winds down tomorrow. 45 tonight. Rain ending tomorrow with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 46.
Then in Orange County, California, this guy gave helicopter tours for 30 years without incident. Hands the business off to his son. 5 days in, he's supposed to give a tour to a couple. Only the dude shows up. 10 minutes into the tour, the dude jumped out. So I read further into the story. Turns out the guy who jumped out, he was 61 years old, terminally ill, and he had had enough. I can't imagine how elated he must have been on that helicopter ride up. There is one small thing. The guy lived. Yeah, they were out over the ocean, 500 feet up. You'd think that would be enough. So I'm thinking he must have gone in like Greg Louganis, like no splash, just... I think he accidentally did the most epic 500-foot belly flop in the history of jumping out of a helicopter, you know? But that didn't change what he was trying to do. Where his heart was, I still love this guy. I just feel bad for him. Just on the way down, he's got to be thinking, 3 more seconds of pain, 2 more seconds. Wow! This is way worse!
Olivia Turquoise Davis is my guest, Alder for the 3rd District in Racine. If you're just joining us, that's the district with Mound Cemetery. I hate to say it like that, but you got to give people an image of where it is. Just say that and everybody, oh, yeah, I know our district right now. All those dead people. Do you have more dead people than living people in your district?
I hope not. I need the living to come to the polls.
You know, I don't know how much you know about Mound Cemetery. You know, you grew up in that area. But I took a tour. I guess it was a video tour we took. I thought it was an in-person tour. My wife said it was a video tour. And the guy who used to give it of Mound Cemetery, his mother's buried there. And he told the story, his mother liked playing bingo. And you know those little stampers they use for bingo, little ink stampers?
Yeah.
All right, she had one, a red ink stamper. And she was getting near the end. This is the one where you fill up the entire bingo card for the grand prize. And they called off a number. It wasn't hers. And somebody yelled, bingo. And she got so upset, she smashed the stamper down, ink flying everywhere. And I think it was like I-26 or something. And it bothered her. That was her one big chance to win the grand prize at bingo. And if you go to Mound Cemetery, you'll see her grave. And on the back is a bingo card. And it says, in search of I-26 on the back of her tombstone.
Oh, and that's interesting. I go through there sometime. And I use that cemetery also for my teenage son to practice driving. It's a little safer than being on the streets. I will look
and
for that.
And everybody hits dead anyway, so what difference does it make? He can't kill anybody.
I kind of said that, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forget the person's name. The other thing about Mound Cemetery, it's Mound because I think that wasn't an old Indian burial ground, and that's why the mounds are there. And you can't upset them because it's a cemetery. People are buried there in those mounds. Also buried there was, I think, the first mayor of Racine, and he had no marker on his grave until a couple of years ago. People got together and bought money together and bought him a tombstone for his grave.
I learned something new today.
Yeah, see? Yeah, you come here. It's always a... Talk about dead people. We know everything. My wife and I made a practice of anytime we go on a road trip, we stop at cemeteries because there's a lot of history in cemeteries. You just have to do a little research on it. And We went to a lot of them, but there's one in Lincoln, Nebraska, and there's a guy named Charles Starkweather buried there. I mean, probably doesn't mean anything to you, but there were several movies made about his escapades, including Badlands, California with Brad Pitt, spelled with a K, and Natural Born Killers.
Yes.
Charles Starkweather and his teenage girlfriend went on a killing spree in Nebraska, just went in people's homes and killed them. And they eventually got him. He got the electric chair. And that's when you're 6 months after you're convicted, you got it, not 20 years later. He got it. He's buried there in Lincoln, Nebraska. And right across him, facing him on the other side of the road, his first three victims. They face him for eternity. I know, isn't that creepy?
It is creepy.
The teenage girl is still around. This happened in the 50s, so she's an older lady now. But they didn't send her to prison. I don't know if they sent her to prison. I don't think so. Well, she didn't get the electric chair.
Not if she's still alive.
Here's another good cemetery story for you. Well, no. Well, she beat it. We gave her all the juice, but she got up and walked out. Didn't work. If you go to Metropolis, Illinois, you know what that is? It's right at the bottom of Illinois. And it's famous for Superman. You know, everything's okay. Superman in there, Metropolis. Just outside Metropolis is a small cemetery, overgrown weeds, and it's really dilapidated. But buried there is a guy named Robert Stroud. Mean anything to you? No, probably not. Robert Stroud. He's buried there next to his mother. Robert Stroud was the Birdman of Alcatraz.
Okay.
And he's buried there, and people put ceramic birds on there. He's not to be honored. He's a two-time killer. I mean, but he became the world's foremost authority on birds and diseases, and his disease books are still being used today, even though he never made it out of grammar school. And he developed, when he was in Leavenworth prison, he developed all these cures for bird diseases. And then he went to Alcatraz. He got rid of the birds, but instead of calling the Birdman of Leavenworth, the Birdman of Alcatraz sounded a lot better. So, I'll tell you one last cemetery story.
Okay,
Your cemetery district there. This took place in Mount Carmel Cemetery in Illinois. You know where that is? Mount Carmel? No. That's where Al Capone is buried.
Okay.
A lot of gangsters are buried there, but this has nothing to do with gangsters. There's a woman buried there, and I'll show you the pictures during the break. And she was buried. She died in childbirth around the early 1900s. And they buried her with her newborn. And there was I don't think there was embalming back then when she was buried. And she was buried there. And her mother always thought that she's not dead. There's something going on.
Okay.
So she convinced the judge in Chicago somehow to exhume the casket, the coffin. And they opened it up. Now, the picture I'll show you later, the casket is all, you know, rotted away because it's been several years she was buried underground. She looks like she was buried the day before. She's in pristine condition. Her baby is not, but she's in pristine condition. So her mother convinced people in the neighborhood where she lived that she's a saint. And she should have a big memorial above her grave. And the memorial they built is her in her wedding dress. There's a picture of her in her wedding dress on the grave, and that's where they built the memorial to her, and that's at Mount Carmel Cemetery. You can see it right there. And see, my wife does all this research.
Yeah.
And you got to do that when you start going to cemeteries.
Yes.
If you go out to Union Grove, Wisconsin, where I'm going to be buried, there is an American Revolutionary War person buried there.
That cemetery?
In that cemetery, and that's before we were America. Oh. I mean, yeah, that's our claim to fame. We've got a couple of claims to fame. That's where I'm going to be. That's not why I picked it, but that's it. All right, Olivia Turquoise Davis is here. We're done talking about the afterlife and cemeteries. But you got one in your district there, so.
Yes.
So you have two of them. You have the Catholic one and you have Mound Cemetery, but you don't have Graceland Cemetery.
No, not Graceland.
That's somebody else's problem.
Yeah, I believe that's might be Renee Kelly's, not, or McCarthy.
That's Harry McCarthy's?
I believe.
That's his cemetery?
Okay. Maybe. I get confused on some of the districts. Mine.
If I allowed you to make any wish for the city of Racine and it would come true like a genie in a bottle and you would have no arguments in the council, what would you want for the city of Racine? You want to think about that for a second?
Yeah, let me think about that for a second.
We'll take a quick break, then you'll think about it. But remember, if the money's there, we wouldn't, you know, have a problem with it. Nobody would fight you on it. We just want to know, What would you like for the city of Racine if you can have it granted tomorrow? What are we missing that you think we should have? And don't say a different mayor, different alder, something that would make the people happy in Racine. All right, think about it for a second.
All right, I'm thinking.
Olivia Turquoise Davis is my guest. She is the 3rd District Alder in the city of Racine. 7:45, looking for cloudy skies today, or a cloudy sky. There's only one sky. Cloudy sky today with a high near 52. Rain tonight, lows around 49. Rain tomorrow with a high near 54. Right now, we have some clouds, 48 degrees here at Radio Park.
Your one-stop holiday shopping spot is Santa's Boutique. It sets up December 6th inside the Fountain Hills Apartments in Racine. Enjoy hot chocolate, cookies, and find great gifts from vendors like Tastefully Simple, Color Street, Avon, Paparazzi Jewelry, The Pampered Chef, Tupperware, Mary Kay, and more. Santa's Boutique at Fountain Hills Apartments, where you'll find something unique. Shop Friday afternoon, December 6th, 1 to 5 p.m. at Fountain Hills Apartments, 1100 Fountain Hills Drive, Racine. Brought to you by Fountain Hills and Compassus Hospice.
Head to the Lanes on 20, the ultimate spot to bowl, dine, and unwind. Take advantage of daily open bowling specials, great for all ages. After you strike up the fun, stop by Angry Brothers Pub for fantastic food and drink specials during football, basketball, and hockey games. Plus, they have the ideal kickoff to your weekend with the Friday Fish Fry.
Yes!
Planning a holiday gathering or a birthday bash? The Lanes on 20 has choice dates and the perfect setup for your party. The fun rolls all year long at the Lanes on 20, just west of Green Bay Road.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers take on Big Ten newcomer Oregon. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 99.9 FM, 1400 AM, WRJN.
I'm talking to our alder for the 3rd District, Olivia Turquoise Davis, and I left her, she had a few minutes to think about it now. What would you like to see for the city of Racine if you had your druthers and nobody would fight you on it? They would all vote yes on it. What would you like?
Oh, this is such a loaded question, and it's so big. My mind is jumping all over the place. The one thing is...
And don't say peace and happiness. That's in there. We're talking about something materialistic.
No, materialistic. We need affordable, safe housing for all, like, that is one. Making
oh, that's
sure that,
good.
Yes, there's affordable, safe housing.
We'll put it in your backyard. How's that? See, yeah, here's the problem. I watch The Twilight Zone a lot. And every time you make a wish, you got to be careful what you wish for. Because it could backfire on you, that wish. So you got to be careful. Okay, we'll build the project right in your backyard. How's that?
Not project.
Okay.
Not project, but housing.
Just regular
housing.
Family. Okay.
You know, the way the economy is now, we're living with folks that a lot of folks that are unhoused. So we're figuring out a way that folks have an opportunity to have housing and stabilization with that housing.
So how would you go about doing that?
That
wasn't part of the question.
That was not part of the question. trying to figure out those different steps, but it's making sure that folks are housed that want to be housed. Everyone does not, but making sure that folks have access to safe housing.
See, I was very fortunate in life that I had parents that made sure I had housing. And my parents were not rich at all when I was growing up. When we moved from the Bronx to Long Island, my dad had to put $10 down to hold the house. He had to go borrow it from his brother. So we didn't have money. I mean, but later on, as life went on, we always got stuff, but I never knew their finances. Now, my dad retired a millionaire, but he didn't have that all his life. Yeah. He worked hard to get to that point. But we always had a nice house to live in. Even our home in the Bronx was very nice. And in Queens, we had a bungalow. I mean, it's just very nice housing. So I don't know what it's like not to have nice housing. I'm sure people, you know, Recently in Milwaukee, they had the park and rides. People were living in there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I felt terrible when they got thrown out of there because where are they going to go?
Same thoughts
I had. You got to be, everybody's got to be somewhere. You can't just vanish into thin air. And I felt terrible in this ramshackle type of housing they had inside these park and rides. But they can't live there. It just, it's not safe and it's not, you know, clean to live there. There's no sanitation there. And so they had to get him out of there. But I've never been in the place. Have you ever been in the place where you couldn't live anymore? I mean, you had to be thrown out or?
No, I haven't.
So you're lucky like
so
me. Yeah.
So I'm lucky, but I've had situations where it's been close to, you know, to possibly, but I have, like you say, I had family. But everyone doesn't have family all the time to fall back on or ask, can you assist me? So that's where you run into folks saying, I've used all the resources that I've had. I've reached out to all I can. This is what's left. So I'm starting here. I'm here. How do I start over?
Yeah, I've never been in that position.
You're lucky on that.
I really, you know? I always had a nice home to live in. So I don't know what it's like. You know, even on Long Island, it's, you know, just people always have homes there. There's no homeless problem where I grew up. Now, in the Bronx, I'm sure there was, but not on Long Island. No. So
but
I never.
Here, I've worked with youth that were close to being homeless. I've worked with adults that were homeless. My knowledge of folks needing affordable housing comes from my past work as an advocate.
Well, kudos to you, because I wouldn't know the answer. That's a very good thing. You know, I thought you'd say, well, I think we need more food trucks around town. We don't have enough food trucks. Let's let them park on all the street. But you picked something, affordable housing for people. That's good.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know how you go about it. But
I mean, I don't know either. But
that wasn't the question.
That wasn't the question, but trying to figure that piece out. I'm all for food trucks. We just need a spot so that I can like hit them all up. I told you I'm a foodie.
The more taco trucks in town. We don't have enough taco trucks. I don't mean good tacos.
No, we need taco trucks. We need barbecue trucks, pizza trucks. We need some with...
How about just hot dogs?
No, we need some Thai food trucks. Don't go with me. I love food. Just line them all up for me. Yes.
You don't look like you eat a lot of food.
Oh, baby. Looks can be deceiving.
See, my wife is a great cook. So she cooks she comes home from work and spends all this time cooking. And I guess she likes doing it. I never asked her because I don't want to hear, I don't like it. When are you going to, because I can cook breakfast, but I can't cook dinners. I just don't have that ability. But breakfast, nobody beats omelets and the type of food I can make. I mean, for breakfast, it's really good. But you don't want to eat omelets every night. So, but she cooks all this stuff. She finds recipes and they're delicious.
Oh,
she's a very good cook. I'm not that type of person. All right, here's a question for you. Danny DeVito was one of the 10 sexiest bald men in the world recently in a scientific study. This just happened recently. These are the 10 sexiest bald men of 2024. Number 10 on the list was Vin Diesel. I would assume, now I'm not a woman, but he looks like a sexy guy to me.
Okay.
Vin Diesel. Number 9 was Stanley Tucci. You know who he is?
I don't know who that one is.
Did you ever see the movie... with Meryl Streep, I can't think of the name of the picture, where she played a fashion designer, ran a fashion company. The Devil Wears Prada.
Okay, yes.
Stanley Tucci was the bald guy in that film. Okay. French soccer star, coach, I don't know who this is, Thierry Henry. Number 7, Samuel L. Jackson. Now, he looks like a sexy guy to me, bald guy. Danny DeVito came in number 6. I don't see that.
I'm trying to see how Danny got on that list, but okay.
Number 5 is Terry Crews. I'm not sure I know who that is. Surfer Kelly Slater, number 4. Shaquille O'Neal came out number 3. I could see that.
Okay.
The Rock. Now, I would pick him as probably number 1. I mean, he's a sexy bald guy, but they picked Prince William. Now, Prince William's a nice guy. I don't see him being a sexy bald guy, though.
His sexiness is wearing off. I don't see it.
See, I would also pick our boss here, Chris Morrow. He's bald, and he's a pretty good-looking guy.
Okay.
Doesn't appeal to me, but he might appeal to you.
I would like to know who they interviewed for that.
They said it was a scientific study they made.
Interesting scientists.
I don't know. But Danny DeVito made number 6 on the list. I don't see that. What's one thing you can afford but refuse to pay for simply on principle? I'll give you some choices here. These are the most popular answers. Hotel Wi-Fi. Now, I've never been in a hotel where they charge for Wi-Fi.
Right.
I mean, we get free Wi-Fi. It's right there on the wall. Just use that thing and you get free Wi-Fi here. Maybe we should start charging it here. Our guests come in. You want Wi-Fi? He gives $10. Put right over here. Put the $10. Then you can use the QR.
No, we don't need it.
All right. ATM fees. Now, I only use my bank's ATM, so there's no fees. But, that would annoy me.
Do you ever go to
a casino?
Because
it's like $5 to use their ATMs.
That's why I bring my $40, and that's all I'm spending. And once that's gone, I'm done with that.
Oh, they love you at the casinos. Oh, here comes Miss $40.
Yes, and once I hit and I win, guess what I'm going to do with those dollars? Eat.
I know. Well, you walk in with your $40, they say, oh, here's a whale coming in.
Oh, yeah.
We better comp her a room tonight here at the hotel. $40. All right, how about this? Carry-on bag fees. I don't bring extra luggage. I don't fly usually, but they didn't used to charge for that. Now they do. And this one wouldn't appeal to you, but drinks for a girl who appears next to you when you're standing at a bar. Then right after you hand them the drink, they disappear and they go with their boyfriend. That would bother me.
That could bother me.
I don't drink and I don't go to bars, but I can see that one. How about this? I gave you a heads up. I was going to ask you this one.
Okay.
The number one thing that can ruin Thanksgiving. Now, you have family over. Do you have big Thanksgiving family dinners?
Yes, we haven't.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the one thing that can ruin it?
The one thing that ruined it for me recently is folks want to talk city business, and I just want to stuff my face with dressing and sweet potatoes.
You don't look like the type of person that stuffs themselves, though. I look like the type of person who stuffs myself. Okay, so here's what they said. Awkward conversation, so that could be that.
Yes.
A mediocre meal coming in second.
Oh, yes. Someone who wants to practice a dish for Thanksgiving. Don't do that.
We don't practice on me. That's done from after Thanksgiving through up until a month before Thanksgiving.
Right. Don't even try it during the holiday season. It's from January to October to play around with the food.
A host who doesn't put much effort into coming, a host who doesn't put much effort into the Thanksgiving meal. Now, if I told you what we had for Thanksgiving every year, what we do is we all agree in our family, our son, and he lives upstairs at in the house, and my wife and I, she decided one year, why bother cooking for just the three of us? So we go out to the Dynasty restaurant. I get the Thanksgiving meal, which they serve year-round, but I get the traditional one, the turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing. I get the whole deal. My wife gets I think she gets the burrito, and my son gets breakfast, and that's Thanksgiving. Now, we bring it home. We don't eat it there, but I'm the only one who gets the traditional Thanksgiving dinner because that's what I grew up with. You got to have turkey on Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes.
And my wife says, why? Where is it written that you have to have turkey on Thanksgiving? I don't know where it's written. But that's what I grew up with. So that's what I like having. What do you have? You have the whole thing?
Have the whole thing. Turkey, dressing, sweet potato, greens, potato salad, deviled eggs.
Potato salad? Where'd that come in?
You gotta have potato salad. The potato salad has to touch the dressing.
Oh, see, we always had sweet potatoes.
Yeah, and you have sweet potatoes as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, with the marshmallows on it.
No, just with the nice pecan crust on top.
No.
Yes.
No.
And this year, if my mom is listening, this year I promise to not drop the sweet potatoes before I make it to your house for dinner.
Did you do it on purpose?
No. Okay. Not on purpose. They failed right when we were hitting the door, going out the door. They just hit the floor. This year I plan to deliver them safe and sound.
Okay. These are the Thanksgiving dinner conversation topics that most people say lead to fights. Do you ever have fights at your house on Thanksgiving?
We have some loud disagreements.
Yeah, where the neighbors have to call the police, a lot going on in that house.
No.
Close to it, though. Okay. here are the conversations. Long-standing family tensions. That can happen.
Yes, they can.
And I never liked your husband. Now I know why I don't like him. Why'd you marry that jerk? And the jerk is sitting right there in the room. General politics. That never goes over well.
No.
I always said there's three things you can't discuss at the Christmas dinner table: politics, religion, and the amount of Christmas music to play on the radio. Nobody ever agrees on all three topics. All Christmas. I don't like all. I like a couple of songs. I don't like any Christmas music on the radio. Anyway, the 2024 election, you can't discuss that. Someone's future plans, you know. You're skipping college? You're going to go marry that jerk? Again, the jerk is sitting right over.